Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, November 28th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Farley Nunley. Farley is 19 years old. He's in his gap year between high school and college, and he is a leader in our student ministry. I can't wait for you to hear more about that at the end of our podcast, but first, Farley will read God's word for us. Thank you, Farley, for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Our first reading is Isaiah 66, 1 through 11. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they came into being, declares the Lord? These are the ones I look on with favor. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word. But whoever sacrifices a bull is like one who kills a person, and whoever offers a lamb is like one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like one who presents pig's blood, and whoever burns memorial incense is like one who worships an idol. They have chosen their own ways, and they delight in their abominations. So I also will choose harsh treatment for them, and will bring on them what they dread. For when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, no one listened. They did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your own people who hate you and exclude you because of my name have said, let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy. Yet they will be put to shame. Hear that uproar from the city. Hear that noise from the temple. It is the sound of the Lord repaying his enemies all they deserve. Before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day, or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Yet no sooner is Zion in labor than she gives birth to her children. Do I bring to the moment of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Do I close up the womb when I bring to delivery, says our God? Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice greatly with her, all you who mourn over her. For you will nurse and be satisfied at her comforting breasts. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. Our next reading is Acts 28, 17 through 22. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, my brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. They replied, we have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from these have reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect. Our last reading is Psalm 138, 7 through 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
Thank you so much, Farley, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Let's start with your story. Tell me a little bit about your family and what it's like growing up in a big family.
Thank you for having me on. Well, I'm a middle child, number 3 of 5, 2 older siblings, 2 younger siblings. You know, people say like the middle child, they get neglected and forgotten.
I don't think that's true.
I mean, sometimes, but like.
Have you ever been left somewhere?
Yes. Oh. Louisville, Kentucky.
No way. Tell me more.
My family was in Louisville and we were at a world robotics competition. And I ran back to the booth to get my t-shirt. And my mom thought my coach had me. My coach thought my mom had me. And they both went back to the hotel. And I was left for about 2 hours in the middle of nowhere.
I know they both felt terrible.
Oh, yeah.
But you survived.
I did.
Who are your parents?
Fred and Jennifer Nunley.
And y'all have been members of the church. You
since like a month ago.
Yeah, but you've been with us for a very long time.
Yeah.
And who are your siblings?
Francis and Finn. They're my little siblings. They are in the 5th and 7th grade at Mountain Brook Elementary and Junior High School.
And then we want to hear about your older siblings as well.
Freddie, he's out of school now. He's a historical interpreter at the Jamestown Settlement. And Fletcher is in law school currently at Washington and Lee.
And has your family always lived in Birmingham?
I was born in Birmingham. My dad's from Anniston. My mom's from Kansas. But all of my life, we've lived in Birmingham.
Let's move on to some of your hobbies and interests. What are some of the things that you enjoy doing?
I'm a tennis player. I am picking up a little bit of archery, trying to learn how to bow hunt. I love to eat.
So what are some of your favorite foods?
Oh.
Or something like delicious that your mom cooks.
I like everything. My dad makes really good spaghetti.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know, Fred, that you're one of the chefs in the house, too.
Got the best spaghetti in the world.
I know that this year is unique for you because you're taking a gap year. That's something that's not really heard of as much in our town and not as typical in the U.S. as other countries. What is a gap year and how's that been for you?
Yeah, so really I'm just taking a year to kind of get everything together before college. Like, I didn't get the scholarships I wanted to go and going into college, and I got rejected to the school I really want to go to. I'm trying to go to Washington and Lee with Fletcher in Virginia, but I'm just taking a year to kind of figure out what it is I want to do in college.
So are you reapplying during this year, or how's the process go?
Yeah, so I reapplied. I'm applying to multiple schools this time around because I only applied to 2 schools last time, but this time I'm applying to like 6 or 7. I've already applied to Virginia Tech. I've gotten accepted to Auburn and Samford, and I'm applying to Washington and Lee again.
And it'll be exciting to see where the Lord leads you and what this next year is like. At any of those schools, will you be playing tennis?
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
I would play at Washington and Lee. That's probably the only place I'd play. That's my number one. So.
Okay. But during this gap year, you just haven't sat at home. I know that you are working and also getting certifications.
Yes. So I'm doing maintenance work at apartments. I'm an apartment maintenance technician right now. Fix air conditioners, anything you'd have in an apartment, I can probably fix it. And if I can't, ChatGPT can.
I know that you've also been studying a lot and learning how to become a contractor, taking classes, things like that.
Yes. So I currently have my NATE Support HVAC Technician certification. So I'm certified support HVAC technician, but I've also been working on getting my contractor's license.
Let's move on to tennis. I grew up playing tennis and love tennis as well. When did you start playing and what about it do you love?
So I started playing tennis when I was 6 years old. At first, it wasn't my favorite, but I stuck with it. And tennis was my first, well, besides my mother, tennis was my first love. I just love competing. I love, like, the practicing is fun and everything, but going out there and competing and playing against other players, it's just so fun.
Do you prefer singles or doubles?
Well, I'm a lot better at doubles. I'm a big doubles player, but I won a state championship this past year in doubles.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. But I prefer singles because I get to play more. I hit the ball more.
So Mountain Brook High School, is that where you got the championship?
Yes, ma'am.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. That is really cool.
Thank you. Last year, I was the captain of the Mountain Brook tennis team.
How are you continuing to train?
I'm out at Old Overton playing there with the high school kids.
So are you coaching a little bit or just playing with them? How does it work?
Well, I'm basically like a mentor. Sometimes I'll coach them, like give them tips and stuff. But I'm basically there to set a standard, set an example.
How do you set the tone?
Well, I've always been, not always, but since I was like 15 years old, I've been like very intense about it. And like, I don't know, just keep a positive attitude for one. Like in tennis, there's a lot of negativity for sure, but that doesn't get you anywhere. So I make sure to keep a positive attitude and always try my best, work my hardest.
My favorite part of this podcast is learning about your faith, how you came to faith, and what that journey with the Lord has been like.
So there's many stories, like many small moments that brought me closer to Christ, but probably the most important one was when I turned 16. My grandmother, she was 94. Four at the time,
and
I believe.
It's Miss Nunley, Miss Jean Nunley, who is a member of Mount Rick Baptist.
Yes, ma'am. And she's been a member for longer than we have, but she came to the church here, and my family was at a different church at the time. So my grandmother started driving a little bit less, so I started taking her to church and coming here with her. And the Lord really spoke to me here, and it was really a it was a kind of transformative experience, like over time. It wasn't like an immediate, like come to Jesus moment. But over time, the Lord has really worked through Mountain Brook Baptist and me and helped me grow in faith. I would say that's the most prevailing moment, really, that helped me come to faith in Jesus.
And I'm excited because I got to see you and Francis and your mom be baptized recently. Now, we know that being baptized isn't a saving act. You were a follower of Christ, but it's an act of obedience, of saying, I'm going to do what Christ did, buried in the likeness of his death and raised to walk in newness of life. Elaborate about that experience.
Like, we've been wanting to become members for the longest time, and we've been talking about like getting baptized again, and we were always a little hesitant about, you know, getting baptized again, because I was baptized as a baby, but I decided that I wanted to be baptized. I wanted to make the decision for myself to be baptized. So without telling my parents, I told Joel, I was like, Joel, I want to get baptized. And he was like, all right, let's do it. So I went to Wayne the next week, I think. And we met, and the next Sunday after that, my mom and Francis decided to join me. The next Sunday after that, all three of us got baptized.
It was really cool to see you all in the baptismal.
It was very special. Together. It was a very special moment.
Is there a passage of scripture that has meant something to you recently, or maybe you would say is a favorite passage?
My favorite passage is definitely the Lord's Prayer. It's the perfect prayer. It's Jesus teaching us how we should pray. So I think it's very important to me, and I say it multiple times per day. I think it opens with a tone of intimacy, and we praise him. We ask him for his kingdom to come, ask him for his will to be done, not ours. We're asking for provision as we focus on him and not us. We're also asking for forgiveness for our sins and the ability to forgive others. We're also asking for deliverance from evil. It's really just a very complete, as it says in the verses prior, we're not just heaping up empty phrases, but it is a direct and meaningful prayer. We're not just saying words to say words, but everything in the prayer has deep, important meaning behind it. For me, it's a very important prayer to kind of recenter my focus on him. Just in any moment throughout the day, when I feel myself or tell that I'm drifting, like my focus is drifting on things I shouldn't be focused on, it's a really recalibrating me, kind of recentering me on Christ.
I learned, Farley, that you helped lead out with the high school small group during this year. And that's really special to me because my son Webb is in that group.
Yeah.
Tell me about the guys. What are you studying? And what has been a blessing in this season?
Well, the guys, there's something. There's never a dull moment with that group. They're very Very fun group. Sometimes also very stressful, but...
Because they get distracted?
Many reasons. I don't think they want me to go into detail.
Okay, but we'll just keep it real surface.
Yeah, they probably don't want me to elaborate, but it's been a very impactful experience for me.
Do you help teach?
I do. Right now, I am on Wednesday nights, I have my own group with the 10th grade boys. I did have Joe helping me, but he's had to move on to the 12th graders, so it's just me and the boys.
What are y'all focusing on?
It's a different thing every week. Last week, we were in Revelation. It's basically the foundations of the gospel.
And how does the night go?
We eat, and the food's great. The food's always on point. And then we'll go to the room and then goof off, I guess, throw lollipops at each other or something. And then we usually have like 30 minutes that's just focused on the word. And then we'll pray out and then go play ping pong or basketball.
You guys are intentional about having fellowship outside of the group. I know last night you went to Top Golf.
Right. Yeah. Last night we went to Top Golf. I think I tore my shoulder or something.
Oh, no. But you're intentional with one another.
Very, yes. It's a very close-knit group. That's something I didn't really have in high school and something I wish I had. And it's very nice to see. It's very refreshing to see a group of boys that are so active in the church that have such strong friendships.
Yesterday was Thanksgiving,
right.
And this is a season of gratitude. So yeah. What are some things that you're thankful for?
There's a lot to be grateful for. I'm definitely grateful for my parents. I'm grateful for their support in my gap year, and it really helped me kind of stay not necessarily stay focused, but they've supported me through the process of just everything that goes into the gap year, into the college admissions. Just they have played such a big role in my gap year. I'm grateful for my friends at tennis and the boys and the youth group. I'm grateful for just everything the Lord is doing in my life right now.
Is there a certain characteristic of the Lord that you're grateful for?
Definitely His mercy and His love.
Farley, thank you so much for joining the podcast, for reading, for encouraging us in the Word. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes, thank you for having me. Would you join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.